if you find yourself struggling with your own emotions. Like one day you have a very depressed day, and the other day you have such a good day, such a good energy. I think that's completely fine. You don't have to push yourself to be successful every day. That's not what happened. That's not how the world works. You see, we have four seasons. Look at the tree. They have springs to blooms. They have like winter to actually go to hibernation. So you can't just be like tree. Learn from them and live like trees. And I think that's the most sustainable way you could live.
That was Kiva Linzakciamkul, or Kiva, as some of us know her. It's a great honor for me to begin the show with such an inspiring young woman like her. She's a designer and entrepreneur from Thailand, and we've met during our time at Malmö University. When I started to sketch down my podcast idea, she was the first person that came to my mind. In this episode, we'll be looking at transitioning a design career for purpose, overcoming challenges and failures, entrepreneurship, and how to leverage the power of networking, but also a lot more. So without further ado, let's meet Kiva. Hey there, and welcome to A Cup of Change podcast. I'm Adriana Nitu, and this is the show where we'll discuss stories on leadership, climate, and change, shifting the conversation one cup at a time. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and let's get into it.
So my name is Kiva Linzakciamkul, and that's a little bit too long because it's Thai name. So I ask everyone to call me Kiva because, I mean, I think it's easier to pronounce. And I think I'm here because I'm working in sustainability area.
You're here because you're awesome. That's why you're here, and because everybody needs to hear your story, you know.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
So yeah, basically, I started as a product designer, which for me, I would say is a good career, but the school of thought behind product designer in Thailand is a little bit outdated. If that's not too harsh to say. Yeah. So in my bachelor, I study industrial design or product design. And just like the name, it is industrial.
Yeah.
So we were taught about how to design products and commercial goods to fit industrial system. To produce in, you know, the big quantity, to have the lowest cost that we can do, to basically produce as much profit as possible for companies. And that's what we were taught in school.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's, I think, what happens in many countries, including in Romania as well.
Well, it's very strong thinking. You know, since the Industrial Revolution this thinking is what's kind of widespread super fast, and it grows deeply in almost every country, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like just design and produce as much as possible. Don't think about the repercussions, don't think about what you leave behind.
Just I think if we go back a little bit more,
yeah,
design, or no, I would say art used to serve more or less people. Yeah. I don't know, maybe it used to serve religions, it used to serve monarchy, but it served people. But right now what it serves is money. But that's the way I view it, at least. That I mean, I was in a design school, and I questioned a lot about the curriculum, all the lessons, and what everyone were talking about design, basically. Like, design is supposed to be solution making process, but it's actually not.
Yeah, like what is the design answering to? Like, what is it solving, right?
Exactly. That's my biggest question.
Yeah, and like now let's talk about this shift, right? Because you started like that, you had your education, then you got your job and you started working in the industry. What actually really like sparked this curiosity of yours to go a bit deeper than just surface?
Well, I don't think the shift is easy to pinpoint because it happened bit by bit throughout the journey. I think after I graduated, I was still super lost about myself. Like, okay, I now have a bachelor in design, but I don't think I myself a designer, or maybe I don't think I'm a good designer at least, because I mean, I wasn't the one who can, I don't know, draw very well or make things super aesthetic. I'm not that kind of designer at all.
Girl, so... I've seen your drawings and I've seen your PowerPoints. Like, I have to say, everything she does is literally, I've learned so much just working with her for like a few months. It was...
Yeah. I mean, the way you view yourself and the way others view you is
so differently
different.
Yeah.
That's that's something we have to accept. But yeah, I that's what I thought about myself. So I was really lost, and I spent the whole 3 years exploring career-wise. Like, I jumped into my family business because at that time, it was economic crisis in Thailand, and it comes at the same time as the digital disruption. So my family business were really shaken, I would say.
Yeah.
So I had to be there. I had to kind of help them to start a new business from what they had at the moment. And it was a digital printing business.
Okay.
Not so sustainable, right?
Yeah.
That's how I started. So basically the first 3 years was exploring. And I don't know, I realized bit by bit from doing so that, okay, this is not what I wanted to do. I mean, you have to go at what is wrong before what is right will come to you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, so, realizing the problem, realizing, okay.
Yeah, this is not for me.
Yeah.
So after that, after everything was kind of settled for a bit and they can just run the business by themselves. So I was like, okay, mom, I'm not gonna do this anymore. I need to grow personally and professionally. So I left the business and I jumped into another business. It was advertising business. I was really like, okay, because you graduated from university and you are in, I mean, I'm based in Bangkok, Thailand, and we are a developing country, so they say. So we need to seek stability financially. Mm-hmm. So after I left my family business, I jumped into advertising business because at that time it was really popular. So digital marketing was there and people are using social media like crazy. So that's basically where the money lies. So I jumped into that business. And I think that's when the shift started to begin because, okay, I think it's a little bit embarrassing to say, but I'm pretty good at working, I guess. So I jump very fast from here and there career-wise. So I started as a social media planner. I work as also coordinator in a Japanese company. And I don't know, someone just found me really interesting. So they scout me to work at another agency as a COO.
Oh, wow.
And that was a big thing. So I said yes right away.
Nice.
But something started to eat me alive. Like every time I work, like we have to wake up super early. We never have holidays, basically. And I don't know. I don't feel like those effort worth anything because in advertising company, what we are basically doing was helping rich people to get richer. it's painful to see right now, like, okay.
Yeah, like it hurts
bit. Yeah, you try to sell a room in a luxury apartment at 10 million baht, but right next to that apartment is a slum.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on there? I don't know. So after 3 years in that advertising company, I was like, okay, I feel my heart broken. That's when I found myself in a major depressive disorder. Like what I was doing at that time was really conflict to my values.
Yeah, and it kind of
the big question. Yeah, the big question just came back to me again about what am I doing as a designer? With the design degree that I hold in my hand, like what on earth actually I'm doing.
Yeah, where am I going with this and what am I fighting for? Yeah. I'm very happy that you're well now and that you overcome that, because what came after that, like the decisions you took and like your decision to basically move to Sweden, when was that to study?
Yeah, I have to go back a little bit, because while I was working in the advertising company, I also helped my she is a teacher in my bachelor. So her name is Trishada, and she was doing her PhD at the moment about sustainability and design in education. So we were pretty close, because we share a lot of interests in sustainability. So I learned a lot from her about sustainability. And during those maybe 5 or 6 years that she was doing her action research to design this sustainable product design class, I was helping her as a research assistant. So I think my passion in sustainability grew bit by bit from the work I have done with her.
Nice.
And then with that major depressive disorder realization, I decided that I'm gonna quit, because I was 26 at that time and I cannot do this shit anymore.
Yeah.
I cannot live like this until I'm 62, and that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I decided to quit without knowing what I'm going to do next. But the only thing I know is I'm not going to live like this. So I quit, and I was talking to Trishada, to my friend, that, okay, now I'm free. Now I'm free. I have free time, and I have all the capacity to explore what I'm going to do with my life after this. So she said, okay, just accompany her to help and teach in the class and such. And during the teaching period, I don't know, it just came to me so naturally that, okay, I have my passion in sustainability and I want to explore what I can do with this thing, with this passion, with all skills I have from working such a long time in a toxic industry. It's kind of depressive thinking, but yeah. So with skills I have, with experiences and with connections that I have with business sphere, what can I do to make my vision come true, to have sustainability highlighted in more and more in Thailand?
Yeah. Now I have a question, like before we move forward. With your own words, how would you define sustainability and change, or sustainability or change, like one of those?
Tough one. Huh? I have to refer to a book that is written by an Indian philosopher called Satish Kumar. I don't know if you ever heard about him.
I haven't, but I'm going to definitely check it out.
Sure. This book is called Soil, Soul, and Society. So basically what this book was talking about is that the way we have been living as humanity is completely wrong. And he cannot say this is civilization, because if this were civilization, we wouldn't be so suffer as we are today. And from the name of the book, Soy, because he put the word soy first, because everyone, I mean, human, the world, the economic, our society, and everything start from the soy, from soy,
yeah,
from the ground that we are standing on. So that's the first thing that we need to actually think about in whatever we're doing. And if we think about soy, we think about the ground and where we stand, then we can heal our soul.
That's so beautiful said.
I do believe so too.
Yeah.
And when we can treat soy and our soul well, then we can build a society we want to live in.
Yeah.
And it won't be harmful to anybody. And I think I can steal that word a little bit. That's a new trinity for our time, our age. And
yeah,
that's sustainability to me.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
I love this book. Highly recommend.
Yeah, okay. I will definitely add it in the show notes and everybody can check it out. Nice.
Do that. And the other word you asked me was about the word change.
Yeah.
I think it's obvious because the way we are living today is not sustainable, whatever that means to anyone. And how to make it more sustainable, we have no other way. Change, transforming, transition, whatever the word is.
Yeah,
you cannot exactly just be in the same state.
Yeah, definitely. The reason why I'm asking this is that I have this like thing popping up into my face every time I speak to people about it, that sustainability has been misused for so long. Everybody just used it wrong on their website, or like just putting a big mission statement out there without doing anything about it. So somehow it's a lot of controversy around it. So, okay, I think it's easier to just say that, okay, we have all different perspectives and this is how I deal with it. This is my direction. This is where I'm coming from. And I would rather have 10, 20, 50, 100 different definitions, and kind of all of them are going like are following the value and are following really the genuine like action. It's not just something I want to do and I want to say, and I want people to see that I'm going this direction. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges at the moment, to really move from greenwashing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Towards really like, okay, this is for real. We are really doing it. It's not just something we say. We have to do something about it. We have to take this crisis, all of them, it's not just one, and turn it into something beautiful. Because at the same time, like, we can't really solve one crisis, like we don't have time to solve it one by one. We have to kind of look holistically at them. And that's why I think your story is very inspiring, because you found your way to overcome your challenges through entrepreneurship.
I think what you just said really makes sense, because sustainability is something that's still open for interpretation.
Yeah.
So everyone looks at this word, look at sustainability from the different point of view. And I'm not saying that mine is the best way to think about it or to go about it. It's just how I view it, at least. And when everyone has a different perspective about sustainability, everyone has their own way to strive for sustainability as well. And just my way to do is to utilize my skills.
Yeah.
And you can have other ways.
Yeah, that's super beautiful. Like, really, what I have right now, you know, the lowest hanging fruit, what is that? That, okay, I'm going to take it and I'm going to make the best, I don't know, fruit salad I have.
Because, I mean, I believe that if it's something that only you can do, it's meaningful, and it means that you are meant to do it.
Yeah, right?
And so.
Yeah, this is really beautiful, because I think there's a lot of people saying like, oh my God, you're doing this thing and there's like a bunch of people that have done it before. When you take photography, right, you take a photo and like, I don't know, dozens of other people did it as well, maybe the same angle or not. And it's really like, sometimes I'm getting frustrated by that, because it doesn't matter that it's the same angle, at least this is my perspective on it. It doesn't matter that it's the same angle, but I don't know, the way I see it is still different. Like, I think if we put 10 pictures like from similar angles, like just all together, we can see that it's not, it's, it still has something different. So,
and that's the beauty, right?
Yeah, and just like adding your own touch to it and adding like that thing that makes you special as a person to the thing you're doing, it makes it also special. I think we forgot to mention the fact that we studied together in Sweden. We studied Leadership for Sustainability at Malmö University.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to ask you, how was that decision? Like, why did you want to come to Sweden to study?
Well, basically, at first, I was looking for a course that offers sustainability in, like, you know, in a deep perspective. So, I mean, Scandinavian has its own reputation about, you know, making progress as the most sustainable regions in the world. So Sweden is definitely one of my top choices. And I was looking at the course, but at the same time, I was starting a business as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, but it's something with sustainability. So I explore both sides. With professional and with education. So by the time I applied to the course, I also launched my own product. Yeah.
What is that? What is that? Tell us about it.
So at that time, I was actually trying to shift my behavior as well. Because, I mean, you cannot live the way you used to live in the advertising industry when you try to talk about sustainability, right? So I do believe that the change start with myself.
Yeah.
So I try to live a little bit more eco-friendly, even though it's challenging. I would say it's really challenging.
It's very challenging.
When you are in Thailand, it's tough.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's quite obvious that choices are not quite out there. Like, for example, if you want to reduce plastic coffee cup, you have to carry your own cup around. And at the time I started, luckily, I think people started to have more and more awareness about this issue, at least about the single-use plastic issue. So I was looking in the market if there is something missing, and I realized that, okay, in the toilet, I have all the alternative products already. Like, I can shift from traditional shampoo to a shampoo bar, the liquid soap to a soap bar, and the toothbrush to a bamboo toothbrush. So basically, I have everything, except for one thing that we don't really have local solutions, and that is toothpaste. So, but of course, I cannot just start to make toothpaste by myself.
Yeah.
You know, a mass production toothpaste, because obviously I'm a designer and I know nothing about, you know, pharmaceutical products development and such. So I talked to it happened by coincidence, because it was one of the family gathering in the new year, and this uncle of mine, he is a pharmaceutical product developer. He's been working in the field for 30 years.
Wow.
And we were talking, and I was like, okay, I want to make alternative product to the toothpaste. And I realized that there are, you know, something like another product out there in the US, in Germany, but nothing in Thailand, nothing that locally produced. And he was like, yeah, hey, I can do that. It happened just like that.
Yeah. I think that's the beauty of networking, right? Like, really talking about your ideas, because sometimes we are just like so scared. No, my precious, this is like my idea and I'm not going to give it away.
Yeah, but But that's how the business will treat you to be.
No.
Like, keep the secret to yourself, don't tell anyone, you have to grow, you will grow alone. But in fact, in nature, there is no tree that can grow alone.
No, right?
They help each other grow.
This is so beautiful, yeah.
you cannot just, you know, it doesn't work that way. The world doesn't work that way. So, yeah, luckily I got this uncle of mine. I got my friend Trishada, who is happened to be sustainability expert. I got my mom, who is working as a fulfillment expert for like 30 years well. So we gather all these people, and within 2 months we have this product.
Wow.
It's a toothpaste tab basically, and the brand is called shoe.co. We are so proud to say that we are Thai's first brand that produced toothpaste tab locally.
Congratulations. Oh my god.
Thank you so much.
I like you. I tasted them because you gave me some when we were together in Sweden. I still have them because they are like really, really nice.
So my team, we started that, and I think we went into the market at the exact right time because it went so well. I didn't expect that. Like, the first 3 or 4 months that I started to sell shoe.co, it was every day packed with either interview with medias or a meeting with some distributor, or I don't know, visit partner shop and such. But it's the first time that I feel like I want to get up in the morning early to get myself prepared and go out there to work.
Yeah,
because obviously this is the first job in my life that you know, fit my values.
Yeah, and you created money. You created for yourself.
Yeah. I don't know, somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow. I have never given myself credit for that, but thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. Like, and this is gonna be here recorded. So every time you feel like, hey, I need that push, you gotta listen to yourself again, because this is a huge thing. And I think many of us, you know, like, really, because climate anxiety is really a big thing. I'm reading more and more about it, and I see so many people talking about the fact that I see so many things happening around, and I want to solve all of them. I want to get involved in all of them, and I really want to do something about something at least. Mm-hmm. But then really, how you can like channel your energy and then at least focus on one thing, because unfortunately, although it hurts me saying it, we can't
solve the problem.
Yeah,
alone.
We can't do everything. We need to, like, you have to find, as you said, the lowest hanging fruit. Find the thing you really like and how you can actually get involved and how you can contribute. And from there on, just like focus on that, your best abilities and that thing that you're passionate. But it's very hard. Like I see it in myself right now. But at the same time, it's just a beauty, as you said, to wake up in the morning and to say like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. Yeah. And
exactly.
I'm gonna focus all my good energy on it, and I'm gonna overpass the challenges, and I'm gonna, yeah, make it really the best thing I've ever created to the date.
To be honest, I'm not gonna lie, because I mean, by the time I started Shoe.co, I was still in a big depression, and I myself am quite preserved. I mean, going out, talking to people, being outspoken is not really my thing. So I push myself quite a lot. And there were some days that I really like, okay, I'm not going to do this today. I want to be in my bed. I will cuddle with my pillow and such. I mean, those days exist.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. But it's not, I mean, if what you're doing, if the core value of what you're doing really serves you, it's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
I'm still alive. 2 years.
Yeah.
I went to Sweden. I went to see you. I went to see our classmates, and I'm still here.
Yeah, but then how was it like? Because you were in Sweden for a little over a year or something like that.
Yeah, about a year.
Okay.
But so after we started first like 2 or 3 months, I realized that I got into the program.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was like, okay, shit. I mean, this business is going so well. Am I really gonna leave this? And I don't know, who knows, if by the time I come back, it might not be this good anymore.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if I could call this a confidence, because I kind of feel that, okay, if you are going to do this business in Thailand, you need to have credibility and validity.
Yeah.
Especially when you are a girl.
Yeah.
I'm considerably young in the area. So I need to earn something. I need to earn this master. I don't know, maybe it's a weird way to say it, but if I get this, my product will be more valued. So I decided to go.
Nice.
That's why we met.
Yeah, and I'm so happy that you did, you know. Of course, like like I think what's impressive is that you formed your team before you left. So even if you were away, your team continued working on the product. So basically the business didn't stop, right?
No, never.
Yeah.
It didn't stop. And this is actually the question that I've been asked a lot. Like, okay, how far you think you can go? How big you wanna be? How much you're gonna earn in the next 2 years and such? But I think if we start small and we grow bit by bit, in a sense, it's more sustainable. Because for example, with this pandemic, if I were to invest like a lot of money in the business, I would have been failed already.
Yeah.
But because of this, it's actually a philosophy that was raised by Satish Kumar as well. It's called small is beautiful. So I don't have intention to overgrow myself, to expand to the area or to the size that I cannot control quality and control, I don't know, more or less carbon footprint that I create. So that's my intention. I intend to keep it that way.
I'm so happy you say it. Yeah. Because no, but like there's a lot of brands, like sustainable brands, which are doing amazing things. But I think just because they want to grow so big, and I'm like completely, you know, supporting them, and please do guys grow, and please give alternatives to everybody and so on. But at the same time, you're completely right. There's a point where there's things you can control. And as long as the core values remain the same, then yeah. I remember also we talked once and you said about compromises, because we are coming with this new view on things and with this passion and drive to change things and to bring about new ideas, people sometimes tend to negotiate. And I remember you told me something very nice, that we shouldn't, like,
it's not something to be trade off.
Yeah.
No.
Like, I'm not trading the future of my future kids or the future of the planet, because yeah, I might not live to see what's left behind, but at the same time, there's gonna be others to see it. And
I think this is the saying that has been said a lot, but we cannot solve the problem with the same thinking we created them.
Yeah. Right? Albert Einstein, right?
Yeah. So I do believe so. We cannot just create a business and grow it until we cannot control, until it's completely, you know, wild. You cannot just let that happen, because obviously it's not working anymore.
Yeah. Like,
so I believe in that size really matters.
Yeah. I'm so happy, and I, like, my heart is just like, oh my god, Kiva, So proud of her.
Come on.
No, seriously. Because we talked about those things like before, but now it's just like kind of all comes together, and it comes together beautiful, because I see that once we finished our school, okay, actually it's your story to tell. You have to continue now.
Okay, where were we? Where were we left?
Okay, so you were living for Sweden.
Yes, right. So yeah, I decided to leave for a 1 year master, and I think what I was missing at the time was, I don't know how, if I can put it this way. I think I don't have the heart for human at that time, because the whole reason I was doing this 2.co was to save the environment. Yeah. So I completely cut myself off, and I'm not gonna, you know, if there are two choices, one is to save environment, one is to save human, I will completely choose to save environment. And I don't care how humanity is gonna end up.
No, but so, in a way, if you think about it, if you save the environment, you save the human as well, because human exactly. live in the environment.
Exactly.
Systems thinking, so, right?
Systems thinking. So I went to Sweden to fill the gap, to learn why do I need to save human.
Yeah.
And during this 1 year master, you know, I've changed quite a lot. Yeah. I realized the capacity to empathize with people more than I used to.
Yeah, because right.
We were in such a diverse class.
Yeah.
We met so many people who were raised and grew and think different than us.
Yeah.
And that's the complete, I mean, I never regret that I decided to go.
Yeah. And I think the fact that we got the mic, basically, and we got the mic and we got the space to speak, and we got the, like, we also had people to listen to us, and we had other people to share our ideas with, that was very empowering, and that really changed my perspective as well a lot. Because maybe when we finished right away, we were just like, finally we are done, and we wrote the thesis, and we are in a global pandemic, and yeah, all this thing. But after, like, just reflecting and seeing, like, oh my god, this is like, I was once speaking with some people in a webinar, and somebody just turned and she told me, like, hey, how do you know all these things? And I'm like, it just came natural. It wasn't something I was reading about. Like, of course I was reading about, but I wasn't learning it as you normally are asked to learn in school. It was just the whole thinking that I think this master...
Your passion just drives you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole thinking that this master kind of put, like, planted inside of us, it's something that I think we all carry with us from our class, and actually from this education. There's so many generations.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the place, is the people, is the experience we had together, is the time we spent together that actually shaped me in a different way. So I came back to Thailand as a different person.
Nice.
With the same passion, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so I was back here in, when was it? 4 months ago I started to work.
July?
October. Yeah. In October, I think in October. And it was not long ago, but yeah. I feel awesome. Like, okay, after 1 year in master, I'm finally back in the field again.
Yeah. Yeah. And how is your business now? After you're back, after you're like, learn new skills and you've changed your perspective and so on.
Well, I'm not gonna lie again. Because after coming back, I've been distracted with so many interesting projects. So Shield.co is still running. I've been running, and our main clients, I would say, shifts a little bit from before I left to Sweden. Like before, we aim to the B2C market, so we aim at the end users, but right now we expand a little bit more to the hostel and right now our product is featured in some hotels in Thailand as amenity kit.
Nice.
And that's something that I wasn't really expecting as well, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's...
If you're doing something good, some people is going to recognize, right?
Yeah, and like if... Like, of course, it's going to take some time until people actually notice and until people understand the value of things. But when they do, then things are going to get moving. And I think that's the thing with change. It comes in steps. It doesn't... It's not linear. It's really super zigzaggy.
Here and there. Like when you grow mushroom, it just pops.
Yeah,
just like that.
Sometimes it's big, sometimes on your highest peaks, and then sometimes you're down. But then I think, like, if you only like think about it, if you go up, if you have this mind that hey, whatever is happening is gonna be fine and we're gonna grow again, at least this thinking for me, it helped. And like, we learned so much, right, in this past year at least. Like, okay, we failed, but what can we learn from it? How can we turn it into something beautiful still?
Exactly, because I'm not saying that shoe.co is a big success so far, because I mean we failed at some aspect as well. For example, when the product and the service was designed, I was expecting that people will reuse the glass jar because the taps is containing glass jar, right?
And yeah,
it's supposed to be reused. But according to observation and the past year experience, more than 50% of the user doesn't really reuse the glass jar. So from there, I'm not saying that the design and the business is successful so far, but that's something to... there is a room for improvement, of course.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise,
how do you change the customer behavior? That, yeah, like, this is really a big challenge. How, like, yeah, we have this, we have the system, we have the idea, but how do we get people to actually understand the usefulness of it and to actually use it that way?
Yeah. I think it's something that I myself haven't achieved in to the level that I would see as success, but you have to really appreciate small things you achieve.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, for example, at least in my family, everyone shifted the toothpaste to the toothpaste tap. And so far, I think we are almost 2 years old and we have replaced more than 5,000 plastic tubes.
Wow.
And I mean, it's not a huge number because the whole world is like 1.5 billion.
Yeah, like, yeah. I think if we count it, I'm going to get super sad. So,
but that's why, I mean, we don't need one person who can do big things. We need many small people to actually get in the field.
Exactly. Just like, you know, we have the saying in Romanian that you gather small with small to make something big. So... Yeah, like, of course, so many people are saying, like, constantly they're telling me that I'm too young to do something and I'm alone to do those things. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's okay, because I know that there's like so many other people around that are doing the same and that are like doing their small bit. They're writing something, they're talking to other people, selectively collecting their waste and stuff like that. And still, like, the impact is small, but then there's just like a lot of small people that are doing this. So I'm happy all of you, and I'm so grateful, like, I'm sending it here. I'm grateful that people are like that, and I'm grateful for you that you're like, you see, this is humbleness, and I like that a lot, because you've done a lot of nice things and you still see that, hey, I have a lot more to learn. It's not just that I'm okay, I'm there, and nobody's going
to
take
me out. I think it's important to appreciate small success that you have and also see where else you can go. Otherwise, I mean, if you complete everything, what's for tomorrow?
Yeah, exactly.
It's too boring, right?
Yeah. But okay, now tell me, what are you working on at the moment, or what are you planning for the future? Because now 2021 is coming, finally, right?
I don't feel like we have lived 2020.
No, like for me, it's like yesterday it was March and now it's December when we are recording this.
Exactly, exactly. So what I'm doing so far after come back to Thailand, I've been working on, of course, Shoe.co is still running, and I work for 2 consultancy at the same time. I don't know how I managed to do that, but one is in Sweden, the one I do with our classmates Paolo and Shimo.
Oh yeah, congratulations for that as well.
Yeah, it's still we're still figuring out how to get into the market. Of course, it's not an easy year, but yeah, we're still working on it. And on the other hand, I'm working a consultancy firm in Thailand to help companies design their corporate sustainability projects.
Nice.
To turn it from just one day, like, you know, donations or giveaway campaign, into something that's more long-term perspective.
So basically from CSR to CS, like from CSR.
Yeah. CSV,
yeah.
More or less.
Yeah.
And that's something we're trying to do. And I'm also working as a mentor for social enterprises in Thailand.
Nice.
Using the design framework that I studied during the thesis with Paolo.
Yeah, the transition. Yeah, like
transition design.
Your master thesis as well was very interesting and like very new. It was, yeah, like, can you tell us the title again? AI? And
it's the transition towards AI for sustainability.
Yeah,
it's about study about the possibility and the challenges to implement this transition design framework in the real business sphere. And we use AI industry as a, you know, study sample.
Yeah,
it's a complicated topic.
It is, definitely, but I think hello Paolo first. But I think you and Paolo really connected well there, because he was very like on this direction, and then you came with your creativity, and then you really found the middle ground nicely, and I'm super proud of you too that you did that.
To connect this transition design to my passion in sustainability a little bit more. Actually, the framework is created by designers, a group of design professionals and design academicians in the US. And basically because they believe that the shift towards sustainability cannot be just one point.
No.
It's the whole process. It's the process of success and failure. So that's why it's called transition, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's very important, because sometimes when you want to change something, like you just ask how to change the consumer behavior, you cannot just say, hey, you have to change. If there is no alternative out there, is that if there is no laws and regulation that ask that, you know, push against the industry to change that behavior, consumer is not going to change.
No.
So this is something that, you know, it's a transition. You have to work with so many stakeholders. You have to put many solutions out there and see what works. That's basically why I was interested in this framework, and that's, I think that's pretty much my direction for the couple of years to see how I can implement this framework in the real life, you know, the industry.
Yeah, I think like that's really a big challenge, to translate the research into real like framework that can actually work
exactly
for real. Because yeah, I've read so much interesting research on sustainability in the building industry, and so little is done, because of course the industry is very resistant, but at the same time there's also like the research a lot, like I'm not generalizing or something like that, but there are some parts of the research that are not properly translated so it can 100% mm-hmm. be feasible in real life too. And that's a shame, because somebody really spent time on that and energy, and a lot of nice like ideas are there.
So I think it's important for us as designers because we know how to speak many languages. We know how to speak with engineers. We know how to speak with marketing. We know how to speak with business owner and such. So we can act as a translator.
Yeah, exactly.
And in this case, I'm acting as a translator from the academic sphere into the business sphere.
Yeah.
That's where my passion lies right now.
Yeah, this is beautiful. That transition design, like really, really nice. I'm gonna put it in the show notes as well. I think it's very important. And I remember you told me as well that it's not yet super well like distributed. And
no.
Yeah.
It's been created for like 5 years.
Okay.
5 years. So it's very new.
Yeah. And I think what's also important to note is the fact that a lot of these things we talk about, they are in design, or we talk about design thinking. We don't have to like use design thinking as a method just in the design field. We can use design thinking in engineering. We can use design thinking in any area which is super technical, because it's just the way of looking at things, basically, and dealing with the problems and fixing and finding solutions and testing the solutions and going back again and then testing again until you find the right thing. And, you know, like we just talk about perfection, it's very hard to achieve it. So rather than finding, like looking for perfection, right, look for really the process and improving and growing. So
I think you put it very nicely.
Thanks. Well, because we are approaching the end of the episode, I would like to ask you one thing. If there's one message that you would like to send to the new generation, something that maybe you wished you'd known when you were 18, what would that be? If they want to go towards like this direction.
I was reading comics when I was 18. I would say every time someone asks me about the message to send to other people or to new generations, I never say the same thing, because I mean, people change every single day.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
What I'm saying here is something that I learned from the class I assist this afternoon, is that I speak to one of the students in the class today, that if you find yourself struggling with your own emotions, like one day you have a very depressed day and the other day you have such a good day, such a good energy, I think that's completely fine. You don't have to push yourself to be successful every day. That's not what happened. That's not how the world works. You see, we have four seasons. Look at the tree. They have springs to blooms. They have like winter to actually go to hibernation. So you can't just be like tree. Learn from them and live like trees. And I think that's the most sustainable way you could live.
Live like a tree. I like that. Yes, you heard it right. Give yourself time and celebrate small victories. Here are two of my takeaways from today's episode. First, it's confirmed once again that although we don't see it, each small action counts. And by educating ourselves continuously and doing our best, that could be a start. Change is never linear. It comes in loops, and for that, we got to be prepared. But if we are lucky enough to see it, the process can be quite wonderful. When it comes to choices, we should never stop questioning why. Why we are doing things in a certain way, or why are we even doing those things in the first place. Also remember that the power lies within us. But there will also be times when we need help, and that's completely fine too. What are your takeaways? Let me know whichever way fits you best. Rating or reviewing on Apple Podcasts, emailing, commenting under the show notes, or recording audio through Anchor.fm. If you're not subscribing yet, make sure to do so, so we can continue together to explore even more inspiring stories like this. If you'd like to hear more about Kiva, you can find her at chew.co, chew.co, or on Facebook at chewco. Also personally on LinkedIn at kivalinsaksiankul. All of these are also available in the show notes with a link in the description. Thanks for tuning in today. Bye for now, but we'll hear each other next time.